All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, April 8th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a 10-game MLB main slate later this evening. There was a 2-game early slate. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. We also have an 8-game NBA slate, 10-game NHL slate, and then we still have the Masters teeing off early Thursday morning here. So it should be a fun week of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right, let's get SaberSim up. We do have quite a few questions to get us started today, so that's always nice. So let me get this up. Actually, before I do so, one quick announcement. Want to mention this. So this got mentioned yesterday in our Discord. I'll just read the post for you guys. So Jordan said, the birdie battle is back for 2025, teeing off this week with the Masters. Win a chance to attend the Masters in 2026, SaberSim swag, free DraftKings, and SaberSim credit, and more. Sign up here. So we did the birdie battle, we call it. It's a golf promotion over the summer. We did this last year for the first time, and we are doing it again this year. You can find details to it at this page. You can also sign up at this page. I'll drop the page link here in the YouTube chat. But we're sending one person to the Masters this year. It's pretty cool. I believe it was Remy Toes won the free roll and is either at or going to be soon leaving for the Masters here. So hopefully we get some pictures outside the venue or something like that. That'd be really cool to see. But we're doing it again. So you can see what prizes we're giving away, right? Each and every week, top finisher prizes, random entrant winners. If you win a milli, you get something special. We also have tickets for the free roll to 2026 Masters. Rules to participate can be found here. These are all of the tournaments that will be included in the promotion, right? So we do skip some weekends. Like if there's certain things we don't support, like team formats and things like that. So always check the schedule. And message from Andy, the birdie battle is just more than a contest. It's a chance to be part of something bigger and score an experience of a lifetime at the Masters. Plus, we're throwing in a ton of other prizes along the way. So bring your A game, push SaberSim to the limits, and most importantly, have a ton of fun this season. See you on the leaderboard. And we have some frequently asked questions. You can always reach out to our support team, support@sabersim.com, if your question is not answered with one of these. But you can just click this enter the battle button up here at the top. This will take you to the sign up form so you can participate. So hope to see all you guys participating. It is a super fun thing that we started to do, and I'm looking forward to another good year of it. All right, so wanted to mention that before we got started. And with that said, let's jump into questions. So we're just going to work our way from the top down here. First question from Jay. Is there any reason to late swap if in MLB, if all the team lineups have been confirmed, but start times are different? Good question. You know, so the answer is going to be slightly different depending on the plan you're on, right? If you are on starter, then I would say no, right? The biggest thing that you want to be aware of, and let me just pull it up real quick. So I'm going into Discord and I'm going to the MLB lineup alert channel. See if I could find one from recently. I cannot, which means that like nothing's really happened recent. So the biggest thing you would want to be aware of, like, is if somebody gets scratched and, you know, there's like a new starting lineup or things like that. But if you're on starter and you don't see any of those things, then no, right? You said confirmed lineup. So yeah, that would be the answer. If you're on ultimate, you do have the ability to take advantage of the live sims. So one, you're getting actual player ownership in your contest. Two, you know, as the games play out, we're updating for live projection, right? So like say Angel game is right at lock. You know, maybe Mike Trout leads off with a home run or something like that. Maybe he's super high owned and maybe you don't have a lot of exposure to him, right? Well, you know, that really sucks. Like, you know, Chalk is obviously off to a great start. You kind of faded this player. You might want to late swap before one of these other game windows. You know, say you're in between, you know, 4:15, 4:40 Pacific time, right? Well, you know, he leads off with Homer. You know, you have an opportunity at this window to late swap and, you know, maybe try and get on some different plays that can help you to salvage, you know, not having super chalky Mike Trout, who's already 1-for-1 with a home run, right? So that all comes into play, the live scoring, the live ownership, the live projections when you're using the contest sims. So you do have like the ability to do that. Now, even I don't do that all the time. You know, I mostly pay attention to the scores of the games and how the games are playing, and then kind of make a determination about like what I want to do. So that could be like super subjective. Like for instance, like I was playing like this the other day. There was like a 3-game slate, and I was playing one lineup in like a higher dollar contest, and I didn't have Kerry Carpenter, who hit like a home run, was like 25% owned. Now I decided to late swap in that contest because I knew I needed to kind of get a little bit different in order to salvage some ROI, right? Other times, right, I might be playing and, you know, nothing like really impactful has happened and I might just not late swap, right? So that's like a decision you get to make if you're on using ultimate and like the contest sims, kind of where are we at in the games? How much viable information has happened that is like worth swapping for? And, you know, do I think I need to do so, right? Those are kind of the questions I'm asking myself as the slates are playing on. And sometimes I'll swap, sometimes I won't. So try and think about it that way. But I think we answered it for both plans here. So starter, no reason to do so if nothing else changes. Ultimate, you can consider depending on how your lineups are doing and the other slate information that's occurring even for players that you don't have in your lineups. All right, that was a good one to get us started. Next question. I'm having trouble finding a process I feel comfortable with using the Sims for MLB. I believe in having a defined process that I repeat. I had one with the optimizer I used to use following Jordan's process from his video and making some adjustments. Doesn't seem to be working. The Sims seem to love low-owned, poorly projected teams and even give me high exposures to those teams, even when they are only 2 to 3%. Of my 5,000 team pool exposures, many highly projected teams get low or no exposure. I don't feel comfortable with that approach, and I'm having trouble developing a process I trust. What advice can you give me? Thanks. Yeah, for sure. So the first thing, right, and this is probably like the easiest thing to do, is simply just like go to the team stacks. You know, I don't know who, like, let's say we go to the lowest projected run teams, right? We're just going to come into team stacks, sort by projected runs. We scroll down here and I'll remove myself. We could see. So the Mets, oh no, wait, these teams got removed. Seattle, Atlanta, Houston are the bottom three projected run teams, right? Okay. So then like, let's just like go and look at their ownership, right? So we said Seattle, look at maybe batters only, you know, very low, like 1-3% ish. Okay. Houston, a little bit higher, right? Like we see some 5%ers ticking in there. And then I think we said Atlanta. And then Atlanta, pretty low, like sub 2%, right? So, you know, when we talk about leverage, right? We talk about like getting leverage to the players. I kind of like this bottom right corner. There's usually like a little less information over here. and we can like see some more of the table. So I might actually go with this. I think this is a new option here. Let's see. Right or left, right. I like right. All right. So getting back to this, when we talk about leverage, right, we're always saying, look at your exposure, look at your leverage, right? If these teams are coming in sub 3% owned, sub 5% owned, right? That means that, you know, 10% max exposure to them is still plenty of leverage. You're still 2 to 3x the field here. So what I would recommend, right, is just come in here and just cap these teams off, right? Say, hey, you know, maybe, we go back to projected run. Maybe teams under like 4 projected runs, I'm just going to cap them to 10%. And the good thing is that, yeah, you're capping them, but if you do get 10%, well, now you're still getting leverage on them because you're going to have more shares of them than most other users in the contest, right? So, you know, I'll mention this from time to time. Like there was an interview we did with one of our Millie Maker winners, and he was like, you don't need, you know, 50% of a 1% owned player. You could have 10%, and that's still plenty of leverage. And I think that's super true for MLB, right? So just come in here and cap these guys. You know, don't feel bad about it, and just do it before your build, right? You could do it before the build. You could do it after the build and then use the rebuild lineups button. That's another way to do it. So I think this is super useful, very straightforward approach. Now, the other way I would consider doing this, I'm just going to run some lineups while we talk about it. So I would go into the projections tab, right? And then what you can do here. So the reason they're coming up so much is because they're basically good enough, often enough to pay off this ownership. Okay. So like, hey, you know, the Braves are coming in, you know, sub 2% owned for all the players. You know, they do well enough in the contest sim more than this rate, which ends up making them a good play over a big sample size. The way I like to handle this is I like to kind of test what I call the ROI fragility. So how fragile is this ROI? And the way I test that is by basically boosting these ownership projections ever so slightly and creating a custom field and simming against that. So like what I would do is, okay, I come in here. Yeah, I see their ownership super low. Well, what if I set all these guys to a minimum like 3%? Okay, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to do 3% ownership for, you know, maybe their top 5-6 hitters. Let's see, it's 4, 5. Maybe I do 2% for like some of their bottom of the order hitters. But here, right, I'm still like doubling to tripling the expected ownership, right? So let's say I do this, and we'll do this last person. All right. So I would do this for all the teams in question, right? So maybe we do this for like those bottom three teams that we mentioned, where it was like Seattle, Houston, Atlanta. Okay, great. So now I've done this, right? I've went and applied this to these teams. And then what I would do, click the gear icon, go down to generate field from ownership, right? This is going to create a custom field for me using my updated ownership projections, right? And let's, you know, say I don't want to do this. Oops. Hold on. Escape. I don't know what I did. All right. Well, hold on. Let's go back to the generate. Let's say, you know, maybe I don't want to do this many lineups. Maybe I just want to do like 500. And then I'll name it field lineups 1. So then now this is going to do its thing, right? I get out of this. Okay, so this is generating the field lineups right now. And then once this is done, we're basically going to go to the contest tab, and then we're going to change the field lineup source, right? We're going to change it from the SaberSim base to our new updated field lineups with our new updated ownership projections, right? So let's let this finish. I put myself in full screen mode and I have no idea how to get out, but It's okay, I guess. Oh, there it is. Cool. All right. So we're rating on these field lineups. And then what we'll do is before we go and switch it, we're going to verify the new exposures to the Braves just to make sure they went up like we wanted them to. So this field lineups can take a little bit, unfortunately. Makes it a little hard to show on stream, but it's okay. We can just wait it out here. And then another question in office hours. Rolling in here. Get that one queued up while we wait. All right. One from Sammy there. Looks like starting lineups are rolling in, so we'll refresh the projections as we go. So let's see if we can switch this. So we go to contest, go to field lineups, and then the field lineup source one, right? So once this finishes, it'll update. But then basically you would set this to your field lineups that you created, whatever name you gave it. And then you would go back to your build, right? And then you would rerun your contest sim. And then your contest sim would basically use those new lineups that you've created. And then you could test the fragility of those lineups, right? Like, okay, hey, in our base ownership, you know, the Braves were, you know, sub 1%, but in the new field we created, ideally they're higher, right? That's whole reason for updating the projections. Are we still getting a lot of exposure to them or not? And in my experience, the way I've seen this work is that you usually get less exposure to them. Just that small change in ownership can actually end up being a very big deal. And that tells you, well, the ROI of this team is actually not very strong and can't withstand a big ownership swing, but even a small ownership swing, right? Just a small deviation from the projected ownership ends up being super, super impactful to the viability of those lineups. So one of those two options should work well, either quick max exposure adjustment or the updated field lineups contest sim option. So try out one of those two. Let me know how they work. All right, next question. When you adjust the slate slot, when do you adjust the slate size from large and small slate? Okay, good question. So we classify small slates as any slate with 2 to 5 games on it. And then we classify any slate with 6 or more games on it as a large slate. We will always make that designation for you. So like, for instance, let's say I go to the early only, you know, FanDuel slate earlier today, right? The 2-gamer. Now, SaberSim is going to know by default that, hey, this slate has 2 games on it. When we get into the post build, we're automatically going to use small slate Saber score. And then when we go to the main slate, right, we get to this slate. I believe it has like 10 games on it, maybe 9 after the adjustment to the Marlins Mets game time. It's going to know, hey, there are 9 games on this slate. We're going to use large slate Saber score. Now, the only thing that you need to do, right, because it will, I'll just like show what this looks like. So it goes to Saber score. Now, it's typically going to default to this 10 to 50K option. I'll say that again. It represents the size of the contest you're primarily optimizing for. Okay. So let's say that you're playing, you know, maybe the $4.20 max, maybe it has, you know, 8,900 entries in it, right? Well, this contest is going to fall into the large slate 1K to 10K option. So you would want to go and change the Saber score to account for the second half of the sortie metric, which is that contest size. So that's primarily what you need to be looking for. You never need to be looking for large slate versus small slate because SaberSim will handle that. Michael said late swapping takes account current scoring and will provide new lineup swaps to maybe get an edge, I think. How do we know what MLB team field ownership is? So good question. So with regards to like the live contest sims and how they're working, what we're doing, right, is for DraftKings, I'll talk about DraftKings and FanDuel. So what we do for DraftKings is we're actually pulling in actual contest ownership as it becomes available. So let's say that, you know, okay, locks at lock, there's only one game that starts. Okay, well, the ownership for these players, you're going to be able to view it, right? If you like go into your phone and like go and look on like the leaders tab or like the points, whatever, you know, you're going to be able to see, okay, Mike Trout, this much percent owned. I don't know who's pitching. Who's pitching? Taylor Walls. Or no, he's not a pitcher, but he's a hitter. But anyways, like all the players in that game, their ownership is going to lock and then their ownership is going to be visible, right? So Shane Baz, X percent ownership. You know, maybe he's projected for 19. Maybe he comes in at 25, right? There's always a little bit of variance there. So we're going to be able to see, okay, these players are X percent owned in these contests. And then from there, we update the field lineups, right? We're like, hey, you know, there is this much ownership being used. There is this much ownership left. What adjustments do we want to make to our ownership fields? And then that's why if you go, if this slate starts or you go into a past slate, you're going to see SaberSim ownership. And then there's going to be a second option. It's going to say SaberSim ownership live. And then this will account for all of the updates to those buckets that are taking place as the contests play out. So look for those, but we are using the actual ownership from contests in the contest sim for DraftKings because DraftKings gives us that data. Unfortunately, FanDuel does not make that same data available to us. You can see the ownership, but we can't download it and use it the same way we can for DraftKings. So what happens with FanDuel is whatever the projected ownership is, that ownership locks in once the games start. And then if there are any updates, maybe a game gets postponed, maybe a pitcher gets scratched, you know, maybe starting lineups change. For those things, we run new ownership, but we lock in the projected ownership from the players whose games have already started. So FanDuel at no point is actual ownership being used, unfortunately, because they don't allow us to, but projected ownership gets locked and then the remaining ownership can be rebuilt / redistributed as news permits. So that's what's going on both of these. All right. Next question. When looking at the leverage tab, regardless of the sport, can that be a contribution of being part of an optimal build? Thanks. So optimal is an interesting word, right? You know, if you're looking for like a idea of like how likely somebody is to be like quote unquote optimal, you know, you'd probably want to do two things, right? You probably would want to build lineups on Sim Diversity 10. And then you would also probably want to look at pool percentage, right? Pool percentage is going to tell you how many lineups a player came in across all the lineups that were built, right? So that's a little bit closer to an optimal percent. Now, along with that, you know, you got to remember that what kind of format you're playing, right? So if like we're playing, and this question is blocking me, I wonder if this works. Oh, so I guess when I do this one, it puts me behind the question, and then this one puts me above it. So I might have to go back to bottom left, unfortunately. All right. So when you're playing something like baseball, right, you're never going to need an optimal lineup to win. Right. Maybe unless you're playing MLB Showdown. But for classic slates, right, you're not going to need an optimal to win. That's why we don't really worry about optimal rates. Now, if you're playing something like MMA, you know, NASCAR, well, you're probably going to need an optimal to win. Right. So you might be a little bit more inclined to go that route when playing those type of formats. Now, in those formats, typically the sliders are set to 0-10 by default, using single sim optimals, and then you get like the sim optimals metric and all that stuff, right, comes into play. So be aware of like the type of sport you're playing. You know, optimals aren't super important in like baseball, hockey, you know, but could be important in like very smaller type of slates and different formats, right? So that's what you want to be thinking of when looking at looking for optimals. But I would rather use pull percentage and compare the pull percentage to ownership to see, you know, okay, this guy's 20% owned, but he's in like 30% of our pool. You know, he's coming in a lot more often than his ownership kind of recommends, right? So that is the way I would be thinking about it when using it. Michael said, I was trying to help answer that first question. You much better handled. Thanks. No worries. Appreciate you trying to help out. I always appreciate it. All right. That looks like all the questions here in both the YouTube chat and the Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.